From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Well, I was on the air when I got a call that night from a guy named Bob Henneberry. Mm-hmm. And he was very official, and he was white. I could tell that. And he says, he calls me on the hotline on the radio station, and he says, hi, Donnie Simpson, this is Bob Henneberry from NBC. And I went, well, who the hell is this really?
Right.
Because your boys back then would play with you exactly. And put on this official white voice, if you would. And, you know, and they would come at you like that and then, you know, just trying to hear you get all proper and everything. And then they just say, hey, man, it's Claude, man. What you doing tonight? You know, so I didn't think it was real. And but then he told me, no, I'm very serious. We'd like to talk to you about coming to work for our station. And he was a consultant for all of their stations. He was out of New York, but he wanted to talk to me about working for their station here in D.C.
Veteran radio and television personality, Donnie Simpson. Simpson began his career in radio at the age of 15 at radio station WJLB in Detroit, Michigan, where he remained for 8 years. In 1977, he relocated to Washington, D.C. to work at WRCFM, now WKYS. In 1983, Simpson was recruited by Bob Johnson, founder of Black Entertainment Television, BET, to host the network's primetime music video show, Video Soul. Simpson remained with the show until its cancellation in 1997. He hosted the Donnie Simpson Morning Show in Washington, D.C. on radio station WPGC-FM from March 1993 to January 2010. Currently, he hosts the Donnie Simpson Show in the nation's capital on Magic 102.3. Simpson is the first urban format radio personality to have an annual salary of over $1 million without being syndicated. In 1998, he was Billboard Magazine Air Personality of the Year. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America and the beginning of our 47th season. On this week's program, veteran radio and TV personality Donnie Simpson, In Black America.
In 1969, that was. So I was really blessed to get such an early start. My mother owned a record shop in Detroit, so I was always around music. From the time I was 12, that's when she opened up her record shop. And so I was always around music, and one day she had a local DJ, Al Perkins,
right,
come out and do his show live from there. And I went into the little booth and was like amazed, you know, just to see this dude in there patting his foot to the music, man, and just having a good time. And, you know, prior to that, people used to always come into the record shop and say, God, you ought to be a DJ. You know, you sound like a DJ because I had this heavy voice. My voice changed between during the summer between 7th and 8th grade. And but it was in one ear and out the other. I wanted to be a Baptist minister. And somewhere along the line, George Clinton turned me out, and here I am.
Donnie Simpson is best known for his sultry voice, warm smile, and piercing green eyes. He is the son of a record store owner. Having been exposed to multiple kinds of music, Simpson began his radio career at the age of 15 with WJLB in Detroit, Michigan, where he remained for 8 years. He relocated to Washington, D.C. in 1977, where he began working at WRCFM, now WKYS, as a DJ and program director. He remained there for 15 years. Simpson landed his first television job at WRC-TV as backup anchor for the George Michael Sports Machine show on NBC's Washington station. Soon after, he hosted Video Soul, a music video program on Black Entertainment Television, BET, and many other network specials. Simpson eventually hosted a Donnie Simpson Morning Show on WPGC-FM, where he continued to captivate listeners for 17 years. He left radio in 2010. On September 17, 2015, Simpson came out of retirement and returned to the radio airwaves, this time on WMMJ to host the Donnie Simpson Show. Recently, In Black America spoke with this iconic radio and television personality.
I was born a poor black child. In the movie star, I'm like that old jerk. Yeah. But, well, it's true, though. So, you know, grew up in Detroit to, you know, middle-class family. We thought we were rich because we had 2 bedrooms in the house, 6 kids, 2 parents, and 2 bedrooms. Clearly, we were not rich. But, you know, when you got brothers and sisters to play with, maybe you are rich, you know. So, you know, I started in radio at the age of 15 at WJLB in Detroit.
Right.
In 1969, that was. So I was really blessed to get such an early start. My mother owned a record shop in Detroit, so I was always around music. From the time I was 12, that's when she opened up her record shop. And so I was always around music, and one day she had a local DJ, Al Perkins, come out and do his show live from there. And I went into the little booth and was, like, amazed, you know, just to see this dude in there patting his foot to the music, man, and just having a good time. And, you know, prior to that, people used to always come into the record shop and say, God, you ought to be a DJ. You know, you sound like a DJ, because I had this heavy voice. My voice changed between during the summer between 7th and 8th grade. And but it was in one ear and out the other. I wanted to be a Baptist minister. And somewhere along the line, George Clinton turned me out, and here I am. You know, that's how I got my start. I moved to D.C. at the age of 23 years old,
right,
in 1977. So it's been 40 years now that I've been in D.C., and, you know, things happened for me in a great way here in D.C. You know, BET happened to start out of here, and
right,
they called me to do Video Soul, and, you know, so life's been good.
I understand. When you got that call from WRC in D.C. back in 77, what was your immediate response?
Well, I was on the air when I got a call that night from a guy named Bob Henneberry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very official, and he was white. I could tell that. And so, and he says, he calls me on the hotline on the radio station, and he says, hi, Donnie Simpson, this is Bob Henneberry from NBC. And I went, well, who the hell is this really?
Right.
Because your boys back then would play with you,
exactly,
and put on this official white voice, if you would. And, you know, and they would come at you like that. And then, you know, just trying to hear you get all proper and everything. And then they just said, hey, man, it's Claude, man. What you doing tonight? You know, so I didn't think it was real. And but then he told me, no, I'm very serious. We'd like to talk to you about coming to work for our station in he was a consultant for all of their stations. He was out of New York, but he wanted to talk to me about working for their station here in D.C. And it was the disco station. He says Disco 93, and I had no interest in that because at that point, you know, disco meant just 120 beats per minute stringing songs together and very little involvement from a DJ. But my oldest brother had always taught me to at least listen. And so I did, and they asked me to come in to D.C., to talk with him. So I did that. It was the strangest thing, too. Picked me up at the airport and took me to Arlington Cemetery to talk. I was like, man, this is Washington. This is so clandestine. You know, who are you really? Is this CIA? It was just weird. And so, you know, but I ended up liking the station and liking the conversation and the money, man. I thought the money was great. I was making $13,500 a year in Detroit, and they were offering me $28,500. I was rich. but I also didn't know much and didn't know how to figure in the cost of living, which was three times what it was in Detroit. I couldn't get my hustle on because people didn't know me, you know, so I didn't get the host parties. And, man, I was broke as all get out the first couple of years I was here. It was bad. But it all turned out. You know, it turned around quickly, and it's been a great move.
When you got the call from BET, was it Bob Johnson or Deborah Tang?
No, actually, it was Jeff Lee, who was Bob Johnson's right-hand man.
Right, okay.
Yeah, who called me and told me they were interested in starting up this show called Video Soul. Wanted to know if I was interested. I told them no, too. You know, I wasn't interested. I'm very careful about what I get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to sell is image.
Right.
You know, I can't give you 20 rebounds a night. So, you know, I'm very protective of that image. And BET, in its infancy, wasn't a very pretty baby. And so, you know, but I thought about it for 2 days. And then the bottom line became this, that this is our first black television network.
Right.
If you have something to offer it, you have to do that. And that's why I joined. And I'm glad I did. You know, I mean, it was incredible for me. It was a great ride. To be a part of that history was amazing. You know, when I started, we were in 1.5 million homes. When I finished, the number was about 45 million. And, you know, and then, it, you know, to watch its growth beyond that to 100 million, whatever the number may be today. But, you know, to be considered the person who was the igniter of that fire, you know, it's kind of cool. It's very cool, you know. And I should, I don't mean to make that sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but that's something right. I've heard Bob say on numerous occasions. He'll tell anybody that, you know, that if it weren't for that guy, we would not have made it. That, you know, he carried this network on his shoulders, and which means a lot to me to hear that from Bob, and who, by the way, is still my boy.
I know that's right.
Yeah, that's my man.
Being in D.C. for almost on the air for 30-plus years, how do you handle the celebrity?
Well, it's been 40. It'll be 40 years this August.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, you just handle it. I mean, it's, I love people. I think that that's what helps you handle it. So when people come up to me, man, I mean, I embrace them, man. I love it. I love meeting people. People are fascinating to me. And so, you know, handling celebrity is, you know, I mean, man, I'm not Taylor Swift or somebody. I don't have paparazzi chasing me around Malibu, you know. So I'm good, man. But, you know, I always felt that even if it were to that level for me, right, that I would not let it get to that level, because I really feel like you control that, that you don't have to be held captive by celebrity. It's how you deal with it, you know, and that I would deal with it like that, man, if I were Denzel Washington. You know, I'd find a way to deal with it, man. Let people know I'm approachable, man. You know, we are one, as Frankie Beverly says. You know, ain't nobody any more special than anybody else, man.
How has the industry changed since you were 17 back in Detroit?
Well, it's changed dramatically. The biggest change is one that I don't like. It's just, and that is that radio has kind of stripped itself of its personality to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so homogenized now. You know, the stations, you know, I remember when I used to travel, man, and when wheels were down in Houston or
right,
New Orleans or Los Angeles, wherever I was, man, I couldn't wait to turn on my little transistor radio,
mm-hmm,
to hear what they were doing. And every city sounded different.
Exactly.
Everybody had a flavor. And I loved all of those different flavors. You just don't have that anymore. It's just a homogenized sound. You know, it's controlled by a few conglomerates. You got one person programming 60 or 70 radio stations. They're all, so, you know, that bothers me. You know, I hate that young people out there now that are coming up with a great set of ears that will never get to express themselves musically, that will never get to express themselves as artists, as who they are, that you've got somebody controlling you, telling, oh, you got 15 seconds to talk. Oh, that was 17 seconds. That's too long. You got to cut it. You know, that kind of stuff just drives me nuts, man. You know, I didn't grow up under that. It was
right,
freewheeling, man. It was, you know, personality, man. That's, you know, and you know, I learned the first year I was in radio that we all get the same records.
Right.
Now, of course, it's not records, but I'll use that. So the only thing that's going to make you listen to me over somebody else is the personality, is the presentation.
Right.
And, you know, no matter how programmers and management try to convince themselves that it is something else, it is not. It is still that. It's still the personalities. You still need that.
Speaking of personalities, you and I grew up at the same time in Detroit. What was it about that? We had Martha Jean, LeBaron Taylor, Ken Bell, Al Perkins, Joe Howard, and the list gets go on and on, Butterball Crane.
Yeah.
What was it about those individuals that really excited you about getting into this business?
Again, what I was just talking about, flavors. You know, all of those names that you just gave out, everybody had different flavor, man, a different style of doing radio. And, you know, when I was young, I would experiment with those different styles. And, yeah,
you
I would.
And
yeah. Well, I think that that's natural for anybody, and no matter what your line of work is, you know, you're going to come in emulating people that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who you admire. That's the style you're going to try to be until you find yourself. And for me, that was about 13 years in
right,
before I remember very vividly one morning feeling that, like, wow, I'm not trying to be any of those guys anymore. I'm me. And that's when it gets really good, you know. That's when you hit the sweet spot, man, when you realize you are you. I mean, really, that's the best place to be. Everybody else is taken, you know. So you may as well do you.
I know that's right.
You know, and that's when the greatest success comes too, man. And that's always my advice to young people in this business, that's the most important thing is to be you, man. I've always felt that there were 1,000 people out there waiting to take my job, mm-hmm. and that 500 of them were just as good as I am. The other 500 are better. The only thing that I can beat them all at is being me, man. You can't beat me doing that, you know. So, and that goes, and that's not just for personalities on radio or TV. That's for any walk of life, man. That, you know, being yourself always works. That's the thing that makes people connect to you when they know you're real, that you are you. You're not somebody else, you know.
No, that's right.
You're real.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Donnie Simpson, radio and television personality. Donnie, you retired in 2010. What's up? And then came back.
Well, my wife kind of pushed me out the door. I mean, she didn't put it like that. She was sweet about it. You know, she said, you know, Donnie, everywhere you go, all you hear is how much we love you and mm-hmm. want you to come back and do something. And God has given you a gift that you should be sharing with people. And I looked around the room like, who is this talking to me? I couldn't believe my wife thought I had some talent or a gift. And so that's the way she put it. Now, that's what she said. What I heard was, get out. It's been 5.5 years. It's time to go. So I went back to work, man, and it's been real cool. She likes this a lot more. People always say, man, I'm so happy you're back. I said, you think you're happy? You should talk to my wife.
There's a video that so many people have mentioned that it's on YouTube. It's with me and Aretha Franklin on Video Soul. And I don't remember how the conversation started, but somehow it went to Curtis Mayfield. And we were doing a two-hour special at Aretha's house. And so she starts, I'm sitting there with her at her piano. And she starts singing a song. Somehow I mentioned that my favorite song is The Makings of You. And she goes, add a little sugar, honeysuckle. And I just started crying. I just started crying because there was so much in that moment for me. You know, it was like, how did I get here? How did this happen? You're sitting on the Queen's throne. One-on-one, greatest voice I've ever heard in my life, singing to me, one-on-one in my ear. How did this happen? I'm not worthy. You know, surely they're going to put me out of here in a minute. You know? But it's just, but you know what? I guess God puts you exactly where he wants you to be. And so, you know, I'm grateful for it. I still don't quite understand how it has all happened. You know, for this little boy from Detroit who admired these people so, to grow up to become, you know, their friends and, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's overwhelming to me. It really is. To be here today, to see this kind of welcome is... It's overwhelming. When I came back to radio after 5.5 years retirement, I mean, all of the press and the attention and stuff, it was just, I don't know, I guess I never get used to it. It's just, you know, when I retired, you know, and to see it on the front page of the Washington Post, you know, above the fold, I'll never forget. I got, seriously, you know, I picked up the paper that morning and I saw that, and immediately tears just came to my eyes, and I just said, so it was like that? You know, I mean, because you know, when you do what you do, you do what you do. Right. You know, it's just, I'm rambling, but that's what I do. I'm sorry. But there's a line from Elton John's song, Rocket Man, that I love so much, where he says, in all the science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. You know, people look at it, you know, he's a rocket man. You know, he's an astronaut. It's just what he does. You know, it's just what I do. And so, you know, I'm blessed that I have gotten to do it. You know, I took off 5.5 years where I ran a shuttle service, shuttling grandbabies back and forth to school. And I was good at it, too. In the summer, I was a pool boy. I was good at that. I'm still for hire. But, You know, it was when they worked out the deal for me to come back, that my best friend, I can't call him my agent or attorney because he's neither. He's just my boy.
Other than having to not get up early in the morning, what's different from the afternoon program versus what you came to D.C. to do in the morning show?
Yeah, well, I started afternoons in D.C., actually.
Okay.
And when I first came here, I did afternoons for the first 2 years. I moved to mornings on January 3rd, 1980. Mm-hmm. And mornings is different. You know, I like mornings because you get it out of the way. You're done at 10, and I can play golf all day. I'm a fanatic. So I don't get to play much now because I'm doing afternoons, and it's just not the same. I have something to do every day at 3, so it's just a different schedule. But the trade-off for me is that in mornings, it's one song, maybe two, commercials. One song, maybe two, news, then mm-hmm. traffic. You're just always doing stuff. In the afternoons, I get to paint.
Gotcha.
You know, I get to create moods, man. I get to, you know, I'll have a 40-minute music set sometimes, man, where I can create moods. And, you know, and that's cool to me because I'm a DJ, man. That's what I do. I play music, you know. So I enjoy that. I enjoy that about afternoons, that I get to paint.
And trolling through Facebook, I ran across your AARP Love Songs Date Night list.
Yeah.
How did you all come together on that?
Well, AARP, I do work for them. I represent them and have for the last couple of years. And they just called me and asked me if they said for, you know, Black Music Month, they wanted to do a series of lists, you know, like a picnics party list, you know, just different lists. And one was for date nights. And, you know, it's my list. It's whatever I think the best songs are for that occasion.
I'm asking everyone I speak to this month about the anniversary, 50th year anniversary of the Detroit riot in 1967. Do you remember that day, that July 23rd?
Sunday night. Well, it started late Saturday night. Right. Oh, I remember very well. One thing I remember so vividly is sitting on my porch because everybody was on lockdown Sunday night.
Right.
And sitting on my porch listening to the Esquires. Woo-hoo! Get it. You remember? Get on up.
Right.
That was the number one song. And it's like, man, all we could do is sit on the porch and listen to that song, you know, watching these pictures on TV of our city burning. I mean, it was tragic, man. And my father had a rent-a-cop service. You know, mm-hmm. I told you my mother owned a record shop. My father had a rent-a-cop service, and, you know, he had to go in there, him and his men, to guard some of these buildings, you know, some of these tough neighborhoods, man. So we were very scared for him. And, you know, it was just a frightening thing to be a part of, man. I was 13 years old at the time.
Right.
And it was just a frightening thing to see. And hope that we don't see it again.
Tell us about Donnie After Dark. This your second season?
No, we're done with that. That
You're
was
done with that?
Specials. Yes.
And how was that experience?
It was cool. It was good. It was good to be back on TV. I hadn't done TV in, 20 years. And so that was very cool to be, and it was a different kind of format for me. It was like a late night talk show thing, which is pretty cool. I felt like that was a, you know, a good fit, and you know, it was exciting. It was very cool to be a part of it.
I understand you're on the wall at Ben's Chili Bowl now.
Well, I have been. This is my second go on the wall, on the famous Ben's Chili Bowl wall, and which is in the alley, which is so cool. I always tell people, man, that I. You know, this little boy from Detroit, from the alleys of Detroit to the alleys of D.C. But I keep good company in that alley, man. I'm with Barack Obama, Chuck Brown, Dave Chappelle now, Prince, Taraji P. Henson, a lot of great people, man.
You mentioned about access, and when we were growing up, we had access to the announcers. We could actually go down to the radio stations and actually see them there and also see them live on remotes. Do you have individuals coming in to see what you do and may want to aspire to be a Donnie Simpson?
Every day, man. You know, I mean, we sit in a window here. You know, it's open, and we get traffic through here every day. We had a young lady in here just yesterday. That's her goal, is to do radio and TV. So she wanted to talk to me because I've done both. And, you know, for me, that goes back to one of the people that you mentioned earlier, Ken Bell.
Right.
Who
recently passed away.
Yeah, he just passed away. As a matter of fact, I went home to Detroit last weekend to bury my mentor. You know, Ken was the guy who would sneak me into that radio station, man, and let me make tapes. you know, late at night, man, then invite me over to his house to critique them the next day and all that kind of stuff, man. And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be doing what I do. So, you know, I never forgot that. I remember when Tony Perkins was, who later became the weatherman for Good Morning America,
right.
Tony was working with me on my show, and he says, why do you invite people in when it's such a distraction? I said, because somebody let me distract.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and without that distraction, then I don't happen. So I never forget that, man. So people are always welcome, man, because you never know. It could, just a chance visit could turn into a career like it did for me, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, man, you can't shut that down.
Any final comments, Donnie?
Hi, Mom. No, just, you know, I guess I want to just thank people for supporting me through the years for radio and television. I know a lot of people that are listening to you right now don't even know that I did radio. Most people around the country don't know that. They know me from Video Soul.
So, right.
And, but, you know, I've done radio all my life since I was 15 years old. And but, you know, whichever medium you supported me on, I just want you to know that I appreciate that and that I love you. And, and you know, I know that just sounds like, you know, kind of a flippant thing to say, if you will. But, no, it's genuine. I truly, truly do love you. I love the people that support me and even those that don't. I just love people, man. But thank you. Thank you for your support.
One final question, Donnie. You had an opportunity to write the liner notes to I call them my marble shooting buddies, the Dramatics, because we all grew up together.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
It was great. I mean, you know, I don't know how old I was then. I guess 17, 18 years old. And for somebody to ask you to write the liner notes on an album was pretty amazing. And I don't remember everything I wrote. I just remember tying it in. I said something about you're the master of your ship. You're the captain of your ship and the masters of your destiny or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, the Dramatics were my boys, man, still are. I love the Dramatics. When I go home, man, to Detroit, I got one boy that we hang out with, man. I don't care what he's got to do that day. I hang with him all day. We'll ride 7, 8, 9 hours straight, man. And all we listen to is the Dramatics, you know. So that tells you how I feel about them, man. They were my closest friends in the industry, you know, when I was in Detroit. You know that. My boys, man.
Veteran radio and TV personality, Donnie Simpson. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today as we begin our 47th season, and please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.